Is this thing on?
I think they can hear us a bit better now. Do you think they are ready to change the status quo?
It's one thing to get them listening, but now let's get them to act.
You're now about to witness the strength of nursing knowledge.
Hi, and welcome to the Gritty Nurse Podcast, an unfiltered and unapologetic podcast which discusses health and healthcare. My name is Amy.
My name is Sarah.
And we are your hosts.
Don't forget to hit the subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts, Google, Spotify, iTunes, or our YouTube page. Please rate and review us.
Make sure you get our book, The Wisdom of Nurses. There's no better gift than giving the wisdom of nurses to nurses during nursing week.
All right, and welcome back to the Gritty Nurse Podcast. We have another exciting episode for you today on a topic we've never actually talked about before. So without further ado, I want to introduce our guest. This has been a long time coming. I want to introduce Dr. Farah Laurent. She is the bomb. She has a master's degree in nursing education. She's a DNP. She has 6 board certifications. Let me just read some of these out to you. She is an executive advanced board certification holder. She has a nursing professional development board certification, certified patient experience professional, trauma certified RN, certified pediatric emergency nurse, and a certified emergency nurse. She's also had various nursing positions in both Canada and the US, ranging from ED staff nurse, travel nurse, charge nurse, educator, adjunct faculty role as a clinical instructor, and leadership positions such as director of education.
There she go, y'all. Hey, Farah! Hi! Welcome to the happy place. We got all this love in here for you.
Oh my goodness, do we feel the love, guys?
Is that your baby? Hi!
Yes!
So you were a nurse for over 20 years, but now you have a profession of helping other people become a nurse?
I'm in education now, but I opened up my own business, basically helping other nurses land their dream role and really empowering nurses, women, telling them they could do whatever they want to do.
That.
Don't listen to people. And even I wrote a book on how nurses can help really start their own businesses and their side hustles so they can make more money. And it's called Nurses Making Money Moves.
Nurses Making Money Moves. Well, you know, guys, here at The Happy Place, we love celebrating people. And y'all got birthdays coming up, so we got to do a little something to celebrate y'all for your birthday or for your birthday celebration. So we want to give you $250 Toys R Us gift cards. Yes, we do. Here it is. And you, Farah, keep up the great work. Oh, my God. Happy birthday. Have all the fun you can. And Farah, keep up the great work. You're an amazing woman. And thank you for answering my FaceTime.
Welcome, Farah. We're so glad to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be on the show. Love you guys. You guys are amazing. And I love all that you do for nursing. So excited to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, amazing, Farah. I think that, you know, we've had conversations before, but now it's the tables are turning. We get to ask you the questions. And we're, of course, so excited to have you on. And again, I'm going to toot the horn that you are Canadian. Yes, you live in the States. You're doing American nursing. But I've claimed you as one of ours now. As we dive into the episode, I think, you know, we mentioned the acronym DNP. We didn't even say what it stands for, which is Doctor of Nursing Practice. I got that right. But I think a lot of people don't know about it. And I'll say it's actually relatively new here in Canada as well. I think the University of Toronto is probably one of the first schools who has a DNP program. But I don't think there's a lot of folks that know what a DNP is. So could you tell us a little bit about what a Doctor of Nursing Practice is actually all about, and maybe what your educational pathway looked like in relation to that as well?
Sure. Thank you. Great question. So yes, I know it's very popular in the United States, the Doctorate of Nursing Practice. So actually in the beginning, I wasn't sure which route I wanted to go. So the DNP is a terminal degree. It's obviously a doctorate degree. But then we also have obviously the PhD, which is more research focused. And then we have the EDD, which is the Doctorate in Education, which you don't have to be a nurse to get. Anybody can get that. Right. But the reason I didn't choose the EDD is because I already had a master's in education. I didn't want to do a PhD because it's very rigorous and a lot more rigorous than a DNP. And it's usually longer, sometimes average 5 years.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So then I decided to do the doctorate in nursing practice. So to give you a little bit of history of why it came about, I actually was doing some research just to make sure I'm accurate. So the American Association of Colleges of Nursing in 2004 came out with something where they wanted to actually have advanced practice nurses, APRNs, really have a doctorate. So typically their master's prepared, but because of all these different reports like the IOM and all these other things, they wanted advanced practice nurses to have a doctorate degree to be doctorally prepared so that they give better care. So that was really the goal. And they wanted all the advanced practice nurses to have doctoral degrees by 2015. Whoa. So obviously that didn't happen. They wanted nursing schools to adapt to that, but it didn't happen. So we still have masters prepared, APRNs, but that's really the goal and that's how it started. So initially it's very focused on the clinical practice part, but then it evolved. What happened was a lot of these DNP graduates started seeking out other positions in administration and in education, particularly in academia. So then you had these DNP prepared nurses that were teaching as faculty and administrative roles, such as chief nursing officers, things like that. The reason I chose the DNP is because I wanted to potentially go into a leadership position. I was already in a leadership position, as Sarah noted, as the director of education. So the program I chose was in organizational leadership. So a lot of leadership type courses. But in the curriculum, there was no education courses. You had the option to take extra, but I didn't because I already had my master's in education. So really, that's kind of the reason why I did the DNP. It took me 3 years to complete. Not all DNP programs are equal.
Right.
So in my DNP program, I had to actually implement my own study. I actually had to create a toolkit to reduce stress reduction strategies for nurses that nurses evaluated. And I actually had to implement that. I had to submit to an IRB institutional review board. They had to accept it. You know, it was the whole thing. So I actually had to implement. But some DNP programs don't have that implementation. They have a project that you present and then you write a whole paper. So it's a little bit different. So that's kind of the explanation of the DNP in short and why I chose to go that route. But it is pretty rigorous, I will say.
It sounds rigorous.
Yeah, it does sound pretty comprehensive. I didn't realize you had to do all this extra stuff in terms of the implementation, especially. And this is a good segue into my next question. You touched a little bit on what kinds of opportunities exist for DNPs. Are there opportunities other than what you mentioned? And where do you see the role of a DNP being really important and critical?
So obviously there are advanced practice nurses that are still doctorally prepared and getting that. So that, you know, really helps them. A lot of them go into become, sometimes they have leadership positions where they're, let's say, the director or they're in charge of other NPs in a hospital in a leadership role where they're still practicing, but also hold that title. And in, excuse me, administration, obviously. So in the clinical setting in hospitals or long-term care, excuse me. Sorry.
No worries.
So in the clinical settings, like long-term care, the hospitals, so they can hold director level positions or, like I said, up to the chief nursing officer or executive positions. And then in academia, where you can be a full-time faculty member, adjunct, which could be, you know, clinical instructor, adjunct lecturer, or you can go up to even be the dean or sometimes even the vice president of academic affairs, all the way up to even maybe be the president of a college or university.
Wow.
So I think those are, you know, several roles that you can, you know, that you can be in.
What would your dream DNP role look like?
That's a good question. So I must say that my past experiences, I always thought that I wanted to be maybe a chief nursing officer for a hospital. But, I'm always real, full transparency, right? When I had my director role in education, I realized all of the bureaucracy and red tape. And I'm like, it's very difficult to make change in a hospital because of really all the politics, right? So, there's the
All the levels.
CEOs, all the levels. And in my role as director of education, I felt like it was very difficult for me to even put in place things to support new graduate nurses and even just nurses transitioning. They were giving nurses out here like 6 weeks of orientation as a new grad. And I'm like, that
Right,
is
it's wild.
unacceptable, right? So I was fighting to at least get them 12 to 13 weeks. And they're all looking at me like I'm crazy, and saying, like, well, we need nurses. We need nurses. And I'm like, well, you're not going to keep these nurses if you're not training them properly, giving them enough time to really grow, and then you're expecting them to thrive without giving them the proper foundation. So that alone, that experience, not just that, but even in other institutions, because I worked for NYC Health and Hospitals, more corporate education. But I saw that it was very difficult because a lot of organizations, there's a lot of constraints, because they want nurses to work and they don't have enough nurses. So it's like retention versus like making nurses work. So it's
Right,
very
right.
difficult to create change. And then I just realized that I'm not a big desk person. I'm
I
not all about,
feel you.
right? Like sitting, especially in my ER background, working in the emergency room, right? You're running around. And I'm somebody who always loves to connect with people and
Right.
speak and things. So it's very hard to sometimes be behind a desk and like go from meeting to meeting all the time. So I'm not really sure. I know that I have a deep interest in entrepreneurship, as I still have my side hustle as a nurse career coach. I enjoy speaking, at conferences, nursing events. I just spoke at the nursing convention for students in New York State, and I absolutely love that. I love empowering nurses, particularly new grad nurses. So I could see myself in a role maybe, there's a national organization for nursing students in the US, something like that eventually. But really pursuing full-time entrepreneurship is really my goal at this time.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that because like I think that even myself, right? I think about like my own educational pathway and what education I have. It kind of just reinforces some of the outside work, or I guess you could say like non-traditional types of nursing work that I do. And I think it's just like it's kind of like I don't want to say it's like a feather in your cap, but having that additional knowledge helps you speak kind of in a little bit of a different lingo too, right? It just kind of helps you have conversations in different positions that you might have not been able to have those types of conversations. So I definitely feel you with like being like, you know what? Yeah, I have this, but I'm not too quite sure if, this is the direct pathway that I'd want to go down. And honestly, the bureaucracy, like I feel you. Like I remember when I was in the educator role, it's just like they're always trying to cut, right? Like we know that nursing is probably the most important workforce within a hospital setting, but they're always trying to peel back and always at the expense off of the back of a nurse, which is very, very frustrating. And I feel you 100% when you're like, yeah, the just dealing with the bureaucracy alone and just trying to, make some change, it's very, very difficult. There are other folks out there that can try to keep pushing that boulder up the hill, but we'll let them do that. You know what I mean? The other question I kind of wanted to ask you, just still kind of leaning, we'll talk a little bit more about your personal interests and kind of a little bit about where you want to go in the future, but just kind of back to just the whole aspect of the DNP. So are there any like clinical interactions that DNP can have? Because I know you kind of touched on like faculty members, working in as like a chief nurse officer. Because I think some people might see DNP and might think of it has to do with like a nurse practitioner, and it definitely doesn't. But are there any types of like patient interactions that you might see a DNP have? And then yeah, maybe if you can just talk a little bit about how it differs from, I think you did mention already a PhD, but maybe a little bit different than an NP. And if there are any myths in relation to being a DNP, could you let us know?
Yeah, so great question. So actually, there are a lot of nurse practitioners, even some in my actual program. So I went to Monmouth University in New Jersey and just graduated actually just this January. There are a lot of nurse practitioners that are become DNPs.
Wow.
So
Oh, okay.
that'd be an
Yes.
interesting name line to see, right? Yeah. Yeah, so really, when I was talking about the advanced practice nurses, as we know, nurse practitioners fall under that. So really,
Right.
it was created for those type of nurses, and also, nurses like C RNAs and things like that that are interested in anesthesia, and other roles. So definitely, they are in the clinical setting,
Right. Okay. Okay.
still, and. They do have to do a certain amount of hours. So different programs require different things. For my program, it was 1,000 hours that we had to
Wow.
do.
Wow. That's a
And
lot.
five, right, but 500 of those hours were actually taken away because I
Oh.
had they took from my master's program, they accepted some of those hours. And then also because I was certified, they took some hours out. So I ended up having to do 500 hours.
All right.
So I did have to go. I had like a preceptor mentor type. She was the director of education at a hospital. So I spent a lot of time with her. But again, it was more in that leadership role because she, my program was in organizational leadership. So they wanted us to have someone that was either in a director or above role, and that they had to approve this person. So yes, their DNPs are still in the clinical setting. And then to answer your other question, what differs from the PhD? I would say they describe the DNP as more as translating research to practice. So
Ah, I see.
meaning that some DNPs still do original kind of work and research.
Right.
However, it's the PhD is more the generator of research and creating new knowledge, but the
Right.
DNP a lot will take what's already kind of been done out in the research and really translate it into
I
practice. So
see.
that's kind of
Wow.
more of the role, like, of the DNP. And then obviously education, EdD is, strictly focused on education. And there's a sometimes there's like a lot of people say they and feel that sometimes the DNP is not looked at as, as kind of prestigious as a PhD is, right? But I guess it just really depends on your perspective. But I always say, like, I don't knock anybody for getting an EdD, PhD, or DNP,
Right.
but I feel like sometimes out there, people think that a PhD is a little bit more, I guess worthy because they've done more like the research and it's more intense. But really, I think it's whatever that it is that you want,
Right,
what
right,
is it
right.
that you want to
Yeah.
do? So I don't think one is really better than the other. It's just like, what direction do you want to go? And I think it's all worth it. And if I just researched before I came on, I just want to get the exact statistic, but only 2.7% of nurses hold a doctoral degree, only
Wow. Wow.
2.7. So it's
That's
not
not
very
very
many.
many.
And only 1.2% of that hold DNPs, and 0.6% hold PhDs.
Wow.
Wow. That
The
is
numbers keep
yeah, that's
dwindling.
staggering. Like I love how you describe the DNP because I've never heard it described that way before. Like you're
Yeah.
actually translating research to practice, which I think is a pivotal role because we can produce all the research in the world, but if we're not actually implementing it, that's a problem.
Right.
And I find that in clinical practice, that's always the barrier is like, how do we actually translate this to frontline practice? And so I love how you describe that. I also want to touch upon nurse hierarchy and how we need to get away from that.
Right.
There's like, right. It's not like there's a ladder and you're better than me and I'm better than this person. It's like, no, we're all nurses and we just need to work together. So I like that you brought that up too.
Yes.
And I think we talked about so many important things. Is there anything else that you want to touch upon? Anything that you want to expand upon or like we didn't get to just yet?
Yeah. So, I mean, one thing that I'm always very passionate about, obviously, like I said, is empowering nurses, empowering novice nurses and new grads. But I think that it's very important. One of my agendas is to really increase diversity in nursing, particularly in academia roles and leadership roles and things like that, because I think obviously, as we know, that's the only way that we're going to push the needle forward to a little bit getting this, you know, equity and things like that in healthcare. So to me, at times I felt like, do I really want to go and do all this work and get a doctorate? You know, is it really going to be worth it? And then I thought about it and I'm like, well, number one, it will open up more doors and more opportunities. Number two, I felt like I wanted to do it for myself, to be proud, to be like, well, I got a terminal degree because I'm very passionate about education. And number three, I'm a big advocate for being a mentor. And I think that other nurses look up to you, right? And again, for other nurses to want to pursue these degrees, they need to see representation, right? So I thought that was important. And then for my own kids, right, as a role model, to be like, I worked full time throughout my master's and through my DNP. Mm-hmm. My daughter was only a few months old when I entered the program. Wow. My son was 4. But it's just to show that, like, if you want something, you can get it, regardless of people telling you, are you crazy? Why are you doing this? Right. Just to have that legacy and that role as a role model. And then, of course, my parents are proud. Right. I'm an immigrant, first gen. So all those things I think I'm proud of, and I'm a role model for others. So this is why I like to, you know, on my show, The Nursing Dose with Farah, highlight these types of things and highlight other nurses, as you guys also are doing great things, because nurses need to see this.
Right.
And I love to bring about more positivity to nursing, because a lot of times there's some real issues that sometimes can be a little bit more negative. So I try to highlight the great things in nursing. And I think this is what we can do, is kind of rally together and push other nurses to really advance the profession forward. And one way that you could do that is through getting advanced degrees, speaking out, getting connected with professional organizations like you guys are doing, being on boards, you know, affecting health policy by, you know, going to different events and things like that. So I think that's really one of the reasons, although I think money is also a big incentive, but sometimes I feel like we're not properly compensated, but that's
Let's be real.
It is money a whole talks. Other show, but we should I even think about how you kind of whispered in, like, you know, money. We shouldn't whisper about, like, Don't whisper. Like,
right. Like Riri, right. Pay me what you owe me.
Yes, show me the money. And if doctors were having this same conversation, I don't think they would be shy about it.
No, they would not, right?
No, I talk about money all the time. I mean, I wrote a book called Nurses Making Money Moves, A Nurse's Guide to Starting Their Own Business. I'm all about it and advocating for nurses negotiating and things like that. So, yes.
Yeah, and I love the piece where you mentioned about the representation. I think, again, if we look at our boards, we look at our leadership teams, we look at our, like, university programs, I mean, if you look at those PhD numbers, I'm sure they're reflective of how much diversity there is within that leadership too, right? I think it's just, again, showing that we do need to have better representation within our profession. And again, a lot of those voices don't reflect some of the feelings and thoughts, opinions that other nurses who are racialized or come from different experiences, backgrounds, it's not very reflective. So again, you know, like, you're out there, you're making change. We're proud of you. We're doing this work together. And you didn't mention that you have a podcast. So why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so
Don't be
it's a
shy.
LinkedIn live show now.
Okay.
It streams live. I'm trying to convert it into a podcast. It's given me a little bit of a hard time with the
Oh,
video,
good.
but really what it is I've been doing it for about a year and a half or so, and it's called The Nursing Dose with Farah. It's on LinkedIn. It also streams on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. And I have different guests on. I know you both have been on. So I
Yeah.
have nursing guests and non-nursing guests where we talk about different nursing issues, leadership, mentorship, things that really can help impact the nursing community and help other nurses. And a lot of the stuff we talk about too is career focus with career guidance. How to really get the jobs that you really want. Because one thing that I'm really a big advocate about is telling new nurses that they can pursue whatever career or position that they want. Because too many times, as we know, as I was told, that I had to go into med surg, and that's simply
Right.
not
Oh,
true, as we know, right?
yes. People
Right.
are
Yeah.
still being told this daily.
It's
I
wild. I
know.
mean, yeah.
I know. So that's one of my big work is to like, I say shatter like old nursing narratives and to really show these nursing students that, if you want to go into health policy right away, go ahead. If you want to go be a community nurse or whatever, there's endless opportunities out there for nurses. So I'm a big advocate for that. So the show really highlights the different topics, for nurses and really how to make money moves, right? Because we know that some of these organizations are not that loyal. And we'll let
None
go.
of them are loyal. Let's be real.
And that job security piece, like they think if they stay for a while that, oh, maybe I'll get a raise or maybe I'll get
Right.
promoted. But that's not always true.
Yeah.
And obviously I know as, I got laid off as the director of education along with four others who were in the leadership position. And it was like a slap in the face. It was like literally a minute. And they're like, yeah, I'm just, when you're done, clean out your office and give us your badge. I'm like, oh, okay, just like
Wow.
that. I was like, okay, cool. So that's why I'm a big advocate for nurses also starting a side hustle and having something there where they can generate their own income and be more, be more independent.
Awesome. And last thing, Farah, where can people find you?
So I'm all over LinkedIn all the time. That's like my number one platform. I love
That's where
LinkedIn.
I met you, yeah.
Yes. And I have my website, which is nursefarah.com. I stream to YouTube. So if you want to look for me, you can look at for the show at The Nursing Dose with Farah on YouTube. But really LinkedIn, I'm on Instagram, but barely really, I'm not really that active. So I would say the website and LinkedIn are the two places to find me.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for coming on. And just even like your last point about talking about like nurses making money moves. I don't know if you saw this, but like Nurse Blake put out a little thing about all these various different nurses and asking nurses what they're making. And it should not vary that
It is
much.
shocking. Actually, I
I was
saw
like, oh my God.
one of the respondents said $27 an hour. Like, can you believe it?
And that is a shot to the gut. That is
That was in
awful.
the US.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah,
And
different states. Like I would say the two probably most highest paid states are New York and California. And then in the middle, it's like a little bit of everything. But that's why I think even new nurses need to know. I didn't know this as a new nurse in Canada that you can, negotiate your salary. It's a little bit tougher if you're in union environment.
Right.
But you can try to negotiate some other aspects, if possible, like a bonus or days off or whatever it is. And a lot of nurses now are looking for remote work. So you can be in a state and work for another state kind of thing and make more money. So, it's all about really looking for opportunities and getting out there and promoting yourself.
Yep. And like you said, nurses, lots of nurses have different side hustles. I got my side hustle. Sarah's got hers. You got yours. I mean, I think, you know what, we need to remove ourselves from the ideas that, you're just a nurse. There's so many opportunities that we could have and so many different things that we could dabble in. And again, we are always more than just a nurse. So again, thank you so much, Farah, for coming on to the Gritty Nurse Podcast. Hope to have you
Thank you.
back another time. I know you're gonna be making more money moves, so I can't wait to see what that looks like. So stay in touch and thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes, thank you so much. And again, to reiterate, like I said, thank you for all that you do. I
Thank you.
appreciate you having me on the show. And if anybody's watching, again, I'm gonna, plug it in. If you want to get my book, go to nursefair.com. You can get the Nurses Making Money Moves, the Nurse's Guide to Starting a Business. Like I said, I'm a nurse career coach, so I help all nurses transition and get any type of dream job that they want. I'm also a speaker for different nursing events and conferences, and I'm a writer too for Minority Nurse and Daily Nurse. So thank you again for the opportunity. You guys are awesome. And congrats on your upcoming book.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Congrats on your DNP.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Gritty Nurse Podcast. If you have any suggestions or want to hear a specific topic, email us at grittynurses@gmail.com. That's grittynurses@gmail.com.
We are also speakers and upcoming authors available for engagements related to advocacy, nursing, mental health, and health policy. Please connect with us.